Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we've been spending a lot of time talking about the aftermath of this NFL draft. And Mike, you know, as we've talked to various guys around the country, one of the guys I wanted to get on is a good friend of mine, Lance Zierlein, NFL draft analyst for NFL Network. He does a lot of great work. In his latest article, actually last week at the end of the week, he talked about his three favorite picks round by round. And I said last Friday, I said, we got to get Lance on to talk about this and also get his thoughts on what we did here with the Falcons. So, Lance, welcome into the show, man. Hope you and the family are safe. What's going on, brother?
We're good, Carl. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing all right. You know, just hanging in there. I think everybody, the whole social distancing and, you know, ready to try to get back to some normalcy. So I know we're all dealing with that. Let's talk about this draft because I want to get your thoughts. We talked a lot locally, Lance, about Jeff Okudah, the cornerback out of Ohio State. We even thought about Henderson, and he might be the guy the Falcons might trade for. Ultimately, we get A.J. Terrell out of Clemson. How far apart are these guys? Because Okudah, you know, seems to be a difference maker. Is Henderson and Terrell that far behind him in the rankings as far as how you see these guys?
Well, I actually see it as Okudah and Henderson, and then everyone takes a step back. So I actually think that Okudah and Henderson are in the same tier. I would say they were the tier one cornerbacks, and then you get into the tier two, and that's where A.J. Terrell would be. To me, personally, you know, that's a little higher than I would have taken Terrell. It's definitely higher than I would have taken Damon Arnett at 19. Mm-hmm. That was going to be the problem, teams who needed cornerback, and I think that's one of the reasons you heard the Falcons talk about trading up. Is if you need cornerbacks, I think most teams clearly recognize that when it came to traits and came to potential to be cornerback one, you had two guys. And those two guys were going to be Jeff Okudah and C.J. Henderson. And when you couldn't get your hands on either one of them, it was going to be a matter of do the Falcons go with the need or best available, or maybe Terrell was best available on their board. I don't know. But I think there is a decent drop after C.J. Henderson to whoever the number three cornerback is. Terrell was not number three on my board, but, you know, my board doesn't mean anything necessarily. But I do think most teams that I spoke with, they all acknowledge that once you got past Henderson, and some teams had Henderson ahead of Okudah. So once you got past those two guys, it was a mishmash of what you coveted at the cornerback position that may have determined how you made a move.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, are breaking down the draft, kind of more post-draft analysis. And I am a big fan of your mocks, by the way. I studied your mocks, and Daniel Jeremiah, as Lance Zierlein joins us here on the WadeFor.com hotline. We got a lot of Falcon fans fired up because Kinlaw was within reach, and then the 49ers made their move, and we got snaked. So I know we already talked about Terrell. We were kind of in no man's land, but another name that came up was Kalaivon Chaisson. What was your take on him? Because we kind of thought he might be Vic Beasley part two, and that, we didn't go that direction.
Yeah, so he was. Now I thought he would have been an interesting fit for the Falcons. I thought he fit the MO. You'd have to be comfortable taking yet another edge rusher, which would have been, I don't know, I think the third in the last six drafts for the Falcons. Right. At least I know that there has been draft capital spent on getting the rush right. When you look at, you know, the defensive line in general, the thing with Chaisson is that I think he is a better, I think he has better upside than Beasley did, but he has some of the same issues, and that's that Beasley was not an early down player. You know, he's not going to be a guy that stops the run. I think Chaisson's got some of the same concerns. And I think that if you were looking, if Chaisson, he feels like a long limb player, but his arms are actually shorter than normal for that size. And so I think that's something that some teams kind of held against him, because those long limb edge rushers, they can cause problems for tackles, but that's something that you really couldn't put a check mark on for Chaisson. And when you added it up, you added up where he was. The second half of the season was much better than the first half. He got healthier. I think he's an ascending rush talent. However, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, who had been burned on Vic Beasley, who got off to a good start and then, you know, didn't do anything with it, and then McKinley, they're still trying to figure out if you can get anything going with McKinley, I can understand why there might be a concern about some of the high upside, lower floor for Chaisson. Completely understandable. With that said, for me personally, I've got a higher grade on Chaisson than I do on Terrell.
Mm. What about Marlon Davidson? It's Lance Zierlein joining us here. Kid out of Auburn. Now, I watch a lot of his games. I like this pick, but I want to know what you thought about him from just a draft perspective and a draft analyst perspective when you watch the tape and you see Marlon Davidson play.
Thought is great value for the Falcons. I think he's an interesting player. He's got the body type of an undersized defensive tackle, but he can play on the end. I wouldn't let the girth fool you, because he's a guy that actually stands and rushes as a standing 3-4 edge rusher sometimes. He can play 4-3 base end. He can play 3-4 outside linebacker in a pinch. And then he can slide inside and reduce down to a defensive line spot, whether it's 5 technique, a 4-eye, a three technique. So I think what he gives you is some versatility. Figuring out where you want to play him, that there's some guys where it's a concern. You say, man, we got to figure out how he's going to play. With Marlon Davidson, that's not a concern. You just say he's versatile. You can move him up and down the defensive line and use him in a variety of ways. So I think that's a big advantage, what he offers you. He is a skilled rusher for a big man. He is athletic for a big man. And I think if he gets a little stronger and a little more stout and improves his technique, you're going to see him get better handling the run if he has to be reduced down inside to a defensive tackle wall. But I think the best way to use him could be as a base end, a big base end, who gets to bump down inside and rush from the interior on third down. So I like the pick. I thought that was a good value pick for the Falcons. And when you take a look at what they did in the first round versus what they did in the second round, you said, okay, edge was a need and corner was a need. You could argue that they actually got pretty decent value when you go to based on how their board was when you went Terrell and Davidson, because you did, in a way, even though Davidson's not a prototype edge player, he has that talent, and he is versatile because he can play a number of positions/alignments along the defensive line. So from that standpoint, you know, you can understand. You say, well, they maneuvered the first two-round picks fairly well in terms of what their priority needs were.
It is Lance Zierlein, guys. Carl's buddy from Texas talking about the draft and what the Falcons did. And, again, some really great mock drafts that he was putting out there that I was using on my mock drafts. I mocked more than ever, man. Hey, Lance, what about Matt Hennessy? We like Lloyd Cushenberry, but he's a big boy for a zone blocking scheme, not a good fit. But we're hearing great things about Matt Hennessy. I don't know where you had him in your board as far as an interior lineman, guard to be center for us.
Yeah, so Hennessy is kind of, I think, a little bit scheme-dependent. He needs to be at the zone team. Once you fit him with the zone team, I think zone teams are going to have Hennessy ahead of Cushenberry, so that did not surprise me that he went where he went. I think he's a good fit. He's a tough guy. I'm not sure he's going to be, you know, an all-pro necessarily, but I think what you're looking at is a good, solid center, a guy who's tough, he moves well, and he's very technically sound as well. So you have the potential to get a quick plug-and-play center from Matt Hennessy, and a guy who is a longtime starter who does a solid job and can do what's asked of him early on. And I think that's something that should not be overlooked, because what NFL teams have told me is that this year there's going to be a big emphasis in the draft, and there was, on players who weren't really developmental players. They didn't have a lot of rawness. They didn't. I mean, we certainly saw some players who were kind of raw going the first round, second round. But the real concern is that without the same type of off-season, without the same OTA schedule, things like that, the guys who are more technically proficient right now, the guys who are a little bit more polished right now, they're going to have a big leg up on the players who are not. Now, in 3-4 years, it all catches up. But for right now, and most teams with head coaches and general managers, they tend to worry about what's going on in 1 or 2 years. That's going to be an advantage to have a guy like Matt Hennessy, not necessarily over Cushenberry, because Cushenberry is also that same kind of player, but Cushenberry wasn't as good a fit for the scheme.
Right.
Lance Zierlein joining us. I want to put this in perspective because we are talking about round five, but I saw your analysis of Jake Fromm. We watched this kid, obviously, up close and personal here at UGA, and you know, very good college quarterback, but I don't think Mike and I were sold that he was going to be, you know, a first rounder, or for that matter, a third round pick. We figured this is kind of where he'd end up, but you're higher on him, I think, than I am, because you talk about him being one of the guys, at least in the fifth round, as one of your favorite picks. Why is that?
Well, it was very specific. I mean, you'd have to, if you read exactly what I said, I thought he was a developmental. I think he's a backup. I think he's going to be a real good backup in the NFL and could have been a low-end starter at best. I thought he is a fourth-round type backup. I thought it was, the reason I thought that was a good pick in the fifth is because of what he's going to bring into their quarterback room. Josh Allen has all the physical attributes in the world. He needs to see the football game better. Well, you're bringing in a football savant with Jake Fromm. So what Fromm's coming in, you know, coming into and coming in to do, and they may not admit this, but I think they may see Jake Fromm as a quarterback coach. What you're getting is a backup quarterback who basically has the opportunity to help mentor a player who's actually older than he is and really teach him the quarterback position and teach him how to read defenses and see defenses. And I know it's going to sound strange unless you really go back and look at his history, but Fromm is considered a very smart quarterback. I mean, he chased Eason and Fields out of Georgia. He's got something there. He's got a pop gun arm. He does not have physical. He does not have the physical attributes of an NFL quarterback. That's why I think he's really just kind of a good backup, and that's it. But what he does have is he has a great head on his shoulders, great football IQ, and I think plugging him into a situation where a talented big arm quarterback can maybe learn a little bit more how to see the game, how to read the game, how to be cerebral. I think that's very important in Buffalo, and it's something you don't find that much in a younger player. Usually, you're bringing in a veteran quarterback. Here, I think they're bringing in a rookie who could have a big impact on helping Josh Allen see the game better.
It is Lance Zierlein, guys, from Talk Radio down in Texas, breaking down the draft. So let's talk quarterbacks not named Fromm. What do you think, obviously, we all argued about Burrow, and then, of course, the argument physically about what's going to happen with Tua. What was your take as you were breaking down the draft? Because we didn't see much of him save for, like, the Rose Bowl game about Herbert and how well he's going to do in the next level.
Herbert's tricky because there's tape where you look at Herbert. So you look at him at the physical profile. Okay, the physical profile is an A. He's got size. He's got pretty good pocket mobility. When he gets outside of the pocket, he can hurt you a little bit. I wouldn't say he is going to be a plus scrambler, but he's above functional. I mean, he's fine. And arm talent, plus. No question. He can throw it with good velocity. He can stick it into tighter windows. That's not a problem. He can work all three levels. But once you start getting into the actual, okay, so let's see how he actually played. Once you get past all the check marks, what you get is a body of work that's inconsistent, a body of work where he failed to string together 2, 3, 4 strong games in a row. At the end of the year, he didn't even throw for 200 yards in a rivalry game against Oregon State, in the very next week with a championship game in the conference against Utah, and then again in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. For a guy who is the sixth pick of the draft, you would expect a little bit more consistency, right, and a little bit more production as a passer. Now, on the flip side, he didn't have a whole lot of wide receivers. There's no question about that during the time he was there. But I thought he was the best young quarterback when he was a sophomore. I said, wow, this guy is the best young quarterback of the whole group. And I didn't see a guy who got substantially better from his sophomore year. And that's the problem I have, is I wonder if he is getting better. I wonder if he projects to get better. And I think the concerns and questions about whether or not he can be a big team leader. And I think this is true for Jordan Love, too. Can this guy, who's a quote-unquote face of the franchise, or at least was drafted like it, can he take control of the reins and get people to rally up and buy in behind him? And that's going to be the question mark, because he doesn't have that alpha personality. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But I think that, you know, the ceiling is high when you look at all the different types of traits you look for. But I just feel like we should have seen more production after having 3 years of starting and, you know, without seeing tremendous improvement from a sophomore year, where I thought he had all the upside in the world a sophomore year. It just never really materialized, not for me at least.
Lance, real quick, best receiver and best running back in this draft. Not where they were drafted, but in your opinion, best receiver, best running back.
Well, I mean, Swift to me is clearly the best running back.
Okay.
So DeAndre Swift was the best. I understood that there was you know, love on the streets for Edwards-Helaire. A lot of running backs really liked him. Swift, to me, was clearly the best running back, and most of the running back coaches I talked to saw it the exact same way. I think very few teams didn't have it. DeAndre Swift won. As far as wide receiver is concerned, I think that's going to be a really tricky one, because to me, Judy and Ruggs were, Judy and CeeDee Lamb were right there close to each other, but Judy's got a few more drops than you can be comfortable with. Lamb is not the fastest guy, and I think his routes really need to get cleaned up. And then all of a sudden you look at Ruggs, and I think Ruggs has the chance to potentially do some Tyreek Hill type stuff. But the flip side of that is, for all the speed, you know, you can have all the speed in the world, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be a big-time NFL quarterback, a big-time NFL wide receiver. In fact, a lot of times the opposite is true. And I don't think he's a great fit right now with the Raiders, with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. I think for the next quarterback, he could end up being a very, very good fit. But I think the Raiders drafted him for his ability, and they'll figure out scheme fit down the road. But I don't think he was drafted for right now with Derek Carr. I think he's drafted for what the Raiders think they're going to become.
Good stuff, man. As always, Lance, appreciate you jumping on, bro. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, man. Thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.